In early October 2017, 41 special vehicles prepared to race 3,000 kilometers across Australia from Darwin to Adelaide. These cars all had one thing in common. They ran on sunlight. I'm Jonathan Strickland, and this is Tech Stuff Daily. The race is called the World Solar Challenge. Hans Tholstrup and Larry Perkins built the foundation for the race way back in 1982 when they built and drove a solar-powered car named the Quiet Achiever across Australia from the west to the east. 5 years later, Tholstrup had organized a full challenge to pit teams against one another. The challenge isn't just about going fast. It's about engineering a vehicle capable of making the most out of the energy harvested from the sun. So why create such a competition? Well, it's not just a design challenge. According to the 2017 World Solar Challenge regulations, the purpose of the race is to, quote, stimulate research into and development of sustainable road transport, end quote. This year's winning vehicle in the Challenger class was the Nuna 9. A Dutch team of engineers built the Nuna 9 and held on to their winning record. The same team has won 3 of these challenges over the last few years. The Nuna 9 traveled at an average speed of 81.2 kilometers per hour, which is about 55 miles per hour. Because the vehicles depend upon solar power, they only travel during daylight hours. The race had 7 checkpoints that the vehicles had to reach, and the race could only last from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. In total, the Nuna 9 raced for 37 hours, 10 minutes, and 41 seconds. That's 4 hours longer than the team's fastest time, but environmental factors like wind slowed down the progress this year. What does it take to race a car using solar power as the main energy source? First, it means most of the car's upper surface is home to hundreds of solar cells. It's the job of these cells to convert light into electricity. As you can imagine, it means making a lot of sacrifices to improve efficiency. Vehicles must be very light and precisely engineered to be as aerodynamic as possible. Factors like drag and rolling resistance can have a big effect on a car's performance. They also must be incredibly lightweight, on the order of a few hundred pounds per car. The average weight of a consumer vehicle is closer to 4,000 pounds. Anything that doesn't directly contribute to operating the vehicle is superfluous and typically excluded from the car's design. Vehicles are allowed to have an onboard battery to supplement solar power. The battery charges whenever the car is receiving more solar power than is necessary to provide energy to the electric motor. Typically, car designs also allow for battery charging to happen whenever a car is traveling downhill and gravity takes over. The challenge features tweaks to rules and regulations each time it happens. This year, that included allowing for a larger maximum vehicle size, which gave teams more options when designing their cars. However, the amount of solar collector area shrunk a bit. The maximum surface area that could host solar cells in a Challenger-class race car was 4 square meters. That's half the size of what cars could use during the first World Solar Challenge in 1987. The reduction shows how far teams have advanced in their design since that first race. Other regulations involved how high a driver's eyes must be from the surface of the road, no less than 700 millimeters, the number of wheels allowed per vehicle, that would be 4, and the mass requirement for a driver, which was 80 kilograms. If a driver's mass was below 80 kilograms, the challenge provided canvas bags filled with steel shot to serve as ballast. The race provides a tangible challenge for engineering teams. Groups have to take many factors into account, including terrain, weather conditions, solar panel efficiency, and vehicle design. These guide the teams as they make decisions about their vehicles, and those design choices might inform future vehicle design or solar power deployment. This doesn't mean we'll all be driving around in solar-powered jalopies in a few years, though a secondary competition in the World Solar Challenge pits vehicles that follow a more consumer-friendly design, called the Cruiser class, as they race across Australia. But this could also mean we see solar panels incorporated into electric vehicles to supplement the car's power needs. It's even possible that a solar-powered car might serve as an electrical generator for a home, storing excess energy in your house's battery pack. So while you're not going to jump behind the wheel of a solar racer unless you're on one of these teams, the technology developed in the pursuit of that elusive championship could make its way into a car you drive in the future, or in your home, or in one of 100 ways we don't even anticipate at this point. That's all for today. To learn more about solar power, race cars, and all other things tech, subscribe to the Tech Stuff Podcast. I do a deep dive on tech topics over there to find out what the heck is making that weird beeping noise. Figuratively speaking. I'll see you guys again soon.